The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What?
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar. We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
You are listening to the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter, Brian Berger. You can follow us on our Twitter, High Spot Podcast, as well as all our social media platforms. Follow us on the Instagram and Snapchat at High Spot Podcast, as well as our brand spanking new website, highspotpodcast.com. You'll find all our info there. Anything you need to know about the Jersey Wrecking Crew will be on that website, so make sure that you follow us and also the Facebook page, facebook.com/highspotpodcast. We are in final battle mode, Clash of Champions mode, Pro Wrestling Magic mode. It is going to be an amazing weekend tomorrow night. It is going to be an amazing weekend in wrestling. And Trendsetter, what's going on, my man? Where else can they find the show?
Well, for everybody listening to right now, the crew, all the members of the crew, you can also listen to us on the networks of the Shining Wizards Network and the B Plus Player Radio Network, as well as go to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, let us know how we're doing, leave a comment, subscribe. We have a YouTube channel out as well, High Spot Podcast. And let us know what we can do for you guys to crew. But you're right, Jeff. It's going to be an exciting weekend of wrestling. I don't know how we're going to get through it. But again, I wouldn't pick any other weekend to do it for, especially with Christmas right around the corner, New Year's. Everybody's going to have the resolution. So what a great way to end 2017.
Oh, it's going to be amazing, man, with Ring of Honor and WWE on a Friday and on a Sunday, too. So it's going to be amazing. But you know it's going to be great, too? Our guest this week is none other than the All-American Jack Swagger. Jack Hager will join us. We'll talk about Bellator. We're going to talk about his WWE time and so much more. So looking forward to having Jack Swagger on the show. But first, I got to start with Trendsetter. Is all the news now. Again, we are in Clash of Champions mode. We are in Ring of Honor mode. But we got to talk about a couple of the news that's around the world and talk about Chris Jericho. Alpha and Omega is heating up. And let's talk about Chris Jericho starting this feud right by attacking Kenny Omega from behind. And let me tell you something, he drew blood. It was another reinvention of Chris Jericho, and it was amazing. And then afterwards, we had the press conference where Chris Jericho was talking, and then Kenny Omega tried to get his revenge. You had the tables thrown. You had Chris Jericho being vintage Jericho. You had him writing on a reporter's notepad. It was an amazing couple of days for the build-up to Wrestle Kingdom 12 between Alpha and Omega. Your thoughts?
I can't believe it. I wish it was January already. I'd bypass Christmas and all this stuff just for that as well, because it's been done so well, Jeff. The build-up, like you said, Chris Jericho, again, reinventing himself over and over again and bringing a sense of realism behind this. I mean, for most people, I mean, you'll have certain interviews and people talking about, was the Twitter war work? Was it this? I mean, a lot of people like to think they know, but it's not 100% if at all. You know, nobody knows if Kenny and Chris Jericho are best friends, but they're working an angle here that feels so realistic. It feels like a big time main event, and although it's not the main event of Wrestle Kingdom 12, it kind of has that feeling behind it. Who knows if last minute they'll switch it? I doubt it, though, but again, the mind of Kenny Omega and the mind of Chris Jericho and all the years he's had in the business and his wisdom just kind of reinvigorates the fact why we love professional wrestling so much. And it gives that sense of, like, for Japan, this is their sport. They cover this like ESPN covers every other sport, like the NFL, Major League Baseball, et cetera, et cetera. It's that intense, and I love it, and I can't wait for it because, you know, he says one time only. Hopefully it won't be the only time we'll see them ever compete in a ring together, but it might be. So for being such a big time main event, something like that you'll never see again, it might be once in a lifetime.
Yeah, Jericho mentioned the fact that you know, he wasn't just going to show up in January 4th and that's it. It was the build-up, and he sometimes thinks that the build-up is even more important than the match. So listen, to everyone that thinks that Chris Jericho can't go or that, you know, it's going to be one of those matchups where Kenny Omega's going to have to carry Chris Jericho, I don't know what you guys are looking at, because Chris Jericho at 40 odd something, you know, 47 right now, can probably entertain more than somebody, you know, in their mid-30s. And let me tell you something, if you lose your fastball, no one can compensate better than Chris Jericho. So kudos to Chris Jericho. Looking forward to it. And of course, you can watch it January 4th on the New Japan website. You can stream it on there, or you can watch it January 6th on Access TV. You're going to get three matches there. So it's going to be amazing. And yeah, you know what? Chris Jericho believes that this is truly the main event.
It is the main event. And again, we give credit to Jericho and Kenny Omega. Let's give some credit to New Japan as well, Jeff, for the mere fact that they had the ability of convincing Jericho, or maybe something he wanted to do on his own as well. But now, you know, their subscribers are going to go up tremendously for the fact that the people are going to be wanting to pay for the stream in order to see this live. I know it's on Access. You could see it maybe a couple days later, but everybody's going to want to see this, you know. I wouldn't say a lot of people would wake up at 3 in the morning to see something.
Oh, but when it's big, it's a big event. Wrestling fans, they did it for the Beast of the East.
Yes.
Yeah, they'll wake up early. Yeah, so, man, what a great way to kick off 2018 with Alpha and Omega, Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega. So looking forward to that. But
WrestleMania came early.
It does. It does come early here, and we can't wait to cover it on the High Spot podcast. Maybe we'll do like a 4 a.m. Kickoff here on the show.
Brian's stretching a little bit.
Brian's like, let me watch it in peace, man. But
you could do it if you want.
WWE,
I just won't be there.
It's going to be a one-man show. WWE presents a mixed match challenge. It's going to be on Facebook Live. And then, you know, it's going to be 20 minutes after SmackDown Live. So the first thing I'm wondering is, wait a minute, what's going to happen at 205 Live? But what they're going to do is going to be a mixed challenge. So you're going to have male and female partners. And the winner will get to I guess have $100,000 to their favorite charity. So that's what it's going to be. And you can already think of the mixed combinations. But it looks like WWE is going to go all in on this because it's something important. Because as the new deal expires for their TV deal, this is another mainstream, another way to get their platform over. And listen, Facebook Live is another option to watch things. So, you know, what do you think about WWE's new venture?
I think it's ambitious. You have to do that, especially with technology evolving the way it is, Jeff. We've had conversations of this before, I think way in the past, maybe I would say 5 months ago, where, you know, where's the future of cable television right now? Is it going to go away? You know, everything is now live stream, everything's on demand. So scenarios like Facebook Live or what WWE has right now, which they've worked so hard to do developing, was the network. That could be another source of which they'll just broadcast their content. Is it a great business move? We'll find out in the future. But this is a perfect example of WWE now exercising their options to see what could be out there, because, you know, time is not on their side when it comes to the TV deal. Do they want to renew it, or do they want to go to this new venture? And right now, when you look at the internet, everybody's on their phone, everybody's on their tablet, nobody's really watching TV much anymore unless it's on demand. So I think it's pretty interesting. And again, it's all out. And it's also fun for the fans too, because it's very interactive. So it definitely gives that element of participation from the audience.
And the combinations, when you think about it, I mean, Nia Jax already called out Braun Strowman. She wants to be on a team with him. Finn Balor and Bayley, they were talking about like having Lana and Rusev and maybe Naomi and Jey Uso in this. So it's going to be very interesting the way WWE presents this. Vince McMahon is all in. He's, you know, he's buying into this. This is another, like you said, another venture, another way to get the WWE brand out. So we will see what happens with this, but it's going to be very interesting. But final battle is tonight, and it's going to be amazing. And I just want to say that it's going to be Cody against Dalton Castle for the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship. And that in itself is going to be an amazing match worth the price of admission. And I'm going to look forward to seeing Cody in the ring. And that atmosphere, man, that is what I'm looking forward to. I saw the atmosphere last year. I was like, damn, we wish we could have gone. And now we finally get to go to final battle. Your thoughts on this card on Ring of Honor and just their momentum heading into 2018?
Well, the momentum is clear of what they're doing right now is Cody is their heavyweight champion. So that's no need to talk about that. You can clearly see the momentum being built up for it. For me, this is exciting because, like you said, we wanted to kind of participate last year. The atmosphere, the enthusiasm, especially when you're in New York City, is going to be electric. So That's going to be a given. But also the excitement of the fact that, you know, there are not a lot of firsts that you and I have done. So this will be a first for the Jersey Brand crew to kind of invade or be, you know, be part of the whole Ring of Honor event to, you know, showcase it and see it there and talk about it. So just excitement all around, man. I mean, I think Ring of Honor has come, I know it gets cliche when you say it, but leaps and bounds when we talk about somebody's, you know, in-ring performance or how they work on the mic. It's amazing. It's been night and day from how Ring of Honor was. And, you know, people consider it like a cult following similar to maybe ECW. But nowadays, it's like gaining so much momentum, especially the independents, that, you know, to me, and you mentioned this, I think, last week, it could be a viable number two. You know, you have Impact there, you have that, New Japan, Ring of Honor. I mean, all these companies right now are kind of battling themselves for the number two spot.
And that's why 2018 is going to be great. I mean, we just got off doing interviews with a lot of superstars from Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
And we were mentioning, hey, 2017 has kind of been like a down year for them. It's kind of been a revolving door. But now, 2018, when Don Callis and Scott D'Amore have full control as the EVPs, executive vice presidents
for Impact Wrestling,
you know, maybe now there's some glimmer of hope now that they can actually be a viable number two. Because, like we said, it's always good to have that other option for the wrestlers, for the boys, right?
Yeah, we talked about that last week, variety and something being there, and these promotions separating themselves from WWE. Don't copy what they do. Do something separate on your own, because that's what's going to separate you from everybody else.
Yeah, and there's never been, for example, no one fights for number two, right? Nobody wants to, you know, everyone wants to be number one. But in this aspect, you know, fighting for number two is going to be very interesting heading into 2018, because it's going to be, I think, a up year for wrestling, just in general. And, you know, listen, the past couple of Raw and SmackDowns have been so-so. You know, now we go into Clash of Champions. I'll be watching that because it's a pay-per-view. It's what you have to do. But,
and also, you know, has implications leading up to the Rumble and WrestleMania.
But it kind of looks like WWE's been kind of like in a freeze until the Royal Rumble. You know, it seems like they're waiting, you know, to set up the Royal Rumble. And if they think that Kane, Braun Strowman, and Brock is going to do anything for you in Philly, I don't think it's not, man. I don't think, why not put Finn Balor in there? You're going to really, Vince McMahon really thinks that Kane is going to make me want to watch the Royal Rumble main event?
Well, and that's why they added Kane to that factor, I believe, because you've ever seen Braun and Brock. Now, Braun and Brock could stand alone, but to add an extra element in there, you know, adding Kane, you know, I get it to an extent of making it more challenging for a guy like Brock Lesnar, because it's clear for us, at least, I'm sure people listening to this and watching, you know, wrestling all the time, that, you know, Vince doesn't have much confidence in Finn Balor. I guess it goes back to the whole Daniel Bryan effect. Can they trust him? Now, granted, Finn's only been injured once with the shoulder. It's kind of a freak accident. But when you compare the two, and Vince not really believing that Finn is over, to me, it's kind of ridiculous for the fact if you put Finn Balor in Philadelphia, and them being very smart wrestling fans out there, they're going to love watching Finn Balor and Brock Lesnar. And if you want any more proof in the pudding, we just recently saw AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar, and that was an amazing match. Probably, you know, one of Brock's best this year.
You know why I think they put Kane into the match? And you're going to be like, you got to be kidding me. Because Brock will pin Kane, and that's another guy that Brock Lesnar has beaten. So now it makes it even more.
And it saves Braun. If you put Braun and Brock in there, it's going to save Braun.
It's also another name in the notch of Brock's belt that when Roman Reigns beats Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, he beat Kane, he beat Braun. You know what I mean? It's crazy, but Vince McMahon is all in on Roman Reigns for WrestleMania. So I also think that, too, if Brock beats Kane, just another guy that they can say that Roman Reigns is the guy that beat Brock, but Brock was the guy that beat Braun, Kane, all these guys heading into WrestleMania. So,
yeah, I look at it more. I mean, I see your point there, Jeff, but I look at it more that, you know, Kane's in there, so he has the ability to be beaten by Brock Lesnar. Because at this point in this stage in Kane's career, it doesn't matter if he wins or loses. So, you know, for Braun and him being your future monster out there, you don't want him to be pinned twice by Brock Lesnar.
No, no doubt. All right, Brian, but right now it is time for our interview with Jack Swagger, the All-American We the People. Of course, everyone knows him from his time in WWE, and he joins us on the High Spot podcast. We talk Bellator. We talk MMA. We talk about his career in WWE. We even talk about Alpha Omega, as well as some college football on New Year's Day as his Oklahoma Sooners take on the Georgia Bulldogs and one part of the semifinals for the national championship. It is our pleasure to present Jack Swagger, also Jake Hager, on the High Spot podcast. All right, trendsetter, looking forward to this interview. We have got on the line right now Jake Hager, also known as formerly Jack Swagger in the WWE, and he joins right now. Lots to talk about with him today, and he joins us. Jake, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. What's going on?
Hey guys, man, thanks for having me.
Really appreciate you taking the time out for us here. So, you know, let's get started with how exactly is the training going now? You're supposed to debut in 2018 for Bellator. Just talk about how it's going, how the process is going to training to set up for the big day.
Yeah, man, it's going good. You know, I have my good days and then my bad days like anyone else. I feel like I'm making progress every day and feeling a little... what's the word? Confident.
Yeah.
More and more every day, just with my team around me, and I see what we're building. And every day we have more of a schedule and a better idea of when it's going to happen. And so that just makes you know, the training, the peaking at the right moment, so much easier. And so it's been a lot of fun. Pretty sore, not going to lie. There's a big learning curve to this, and a lot of muscles that aren't needed to wear spandex baby oil and talk on a microphone. So it's fun, though. It really is. It's something that I got away from, you know, since I've done this, because I just didn't have time when I was with the WWE with the travel schedule. And now I'm really able to sink my teeth into it and really enjoy it. And so glad that I got back to it.
Hey, Jake, this is Brian. You brought up a great point where you said this is something you kind of got away from. Now, was this something when you were wrestling in college that you were kind of thinking about pursuing before the WWE came? Or what was the decision process now at this point to pursue this?
It wasn't something in college that I was thinking about pursuing. You know, my All-American years were 05, 06, Oklahoma. I graduated 06. And at that point, MMA, UFC was really starting to get a lot of TV time and become popular, especially amongst college kids. But I didn't know enough about it at the time, and I knew a lot about pro wrestling, so it was just a clear choice back then. What brought it around now is it's something that I feel like I have a background for. It's something I feel I have the size and athletic ability for. And it really is. It's so popular right now. Combat sports, boxing, MMA, pro wrestling. They're probably at their peaks. Maybe not boxing, but boxing is definitely coming back, where it's been in a low dull last, you know, 5-10 years. And now it's starting to come back on the popularity level, and like the combination of those two things just made this seem like a once in a lifetime opportunity that I couldn't you know, ignore. And didn't want to go through the rest of my life looking back like wondering what if, because you know, with MMA there's very, very big risk, but at the same time, for an former pro wrestler to cross over into it, it could mean a big reward. And so we will find out. And that's really what the great thing about MMA is you're going to find out.
Yeah, you're going to find out one way or the other, right?
You mentioned your travel schedule with WWE before, kind of yet to put this to the side. Now that you've, you know, been a free agent and kind of, you know, been able to pick and choose where you want to go, because you still do the wrestling. We saw you at a WrestlePro event a few weeks back. And how does it just feel being able to control your own schedule and, you know, not having to, you know, be on the road all the time? How does that feel to being your own schedule maker now?
Yeah, it's, you know, it definitely has its benefits. Me being my first time doing independent wrestling and trying to get my feet wet and really understand how it works and everything, and, you know, really maximize my relationships when I meet promoters and other wrestlers. So setting the schedule is nice. I can definitely, you know, set it around my kids' birthdays, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to leave as well. It's the best time of their lives right now, so I wanted to be home more. But it's nice, and at the same time, it's like, be careful what you wish for as far as all the work that goes into this, because it is a lot. the emails and like I said, you know, relationships are everything in business. So managing those relationships and like reading between the lines and, you know, trying to do good business. So a lot of things go into it, not just like picking around holidays or birthdays and whatnot. I'm learning quickly, but I feel I still got a lot to learn. You know, I've only truly been doing this since, what, May? So yeah. We'll keep learning.
Well, the thing about the business in professional wrestling is there's always such a long learning curve in it. And the same could be said about mixed martial arts, especially when, I mean, you have the background of being a very good wrestler, and now you're kind of learning the other attributes because there are different disciplines you have to learn. But when it comes to the fact that when you sign with Bellator, correct me if I'm wrong, are you going to be trying to compete in the heavyweight division, or you still haven't decided yet whether it's going to be heavyweight or light heavyweight division?
No, it's going to be heavyweight. I could not make light heavyweight if I tried. The lowest I could get down to is probably like high 230s, but that would be, I'd be like a super bird then. Bird legs, bird arms.
I gotcha. And again, you want to keep your energy and your power there too. So, okay, so you're going to be competing in a heavyweight though. You talked before about how like it's between you and your team coming up with the idea of when you'll be ready. I mean, is that decision more you're going to place on your team to kind of give you the thumbs up of when they think you're ready, or is it more when you feel you're comfortable enough now to step in the cage?
I'm gonna rely on my team for that. I got a great team around me, good people, and they're good friends of mine that actually care about me. And so it's one of those benefits that you can just put it on them. They have the expertise. You know, they're the ones who've been doing this all their lives. So really excited about working with them and seeing what we can do. Josh Rafferty, Joey Best at Ybor City Jiu-Jitsu. Coach Rob, probably the best MMA boxing coach there is. And it's going to be exciting. So I'm just going to let them be brutally honest with me and move forward and take it accordingly. Right now, I think we're shooting for May, June. That way we'll still have time to get the second W in 2018.
Got it.
There you go. There you go. He is always confident. He's never lacked confidence.
No, never. And of course, you saw him in the WWE, you could tell he was in confidence with his character. Now, talk about your time in WWE. You know, we've seen the issues with Cody leaving, and Cody said he was thinking way before the time that he decided to, you know, give his notice and leave. And you, I read, maybe you were thinking about this a year before you were going to leave too. Talk about the exit strategy. Is it, for example, something that you think of, you got to weigh the odds of like, okay, what happens? Can I count on myself that I'm going to succeed after WWE, or is it something that, or is it something else that weighs on your mind when you're trying to decide that you're going to leave the company?
For the longest time for me, it was the income substitution. When you're young and you make a nice amount of money and you have a family and you've had it for almost a decade, you know, you have certain ways that you live. I mean, I'm not just talking about like a Rolls Royce in the driveway. I'm talking about, you know, your health insurance, the way you invest, your life insurance, kids' schools. You thought you had to save up for college. You got to save up for kindergarten these days. And so you really have a lot that's like really fixed as expenses, and you have to deal with that and adjust accordingly. And you have to try to plan as much as you can of how you're going to supplement that income and how you're going to replace that money coming in, what you can move out of the way. So for me, that was the biggest part of it, as far as like keeping me from leaving, because it's kind of scary. You know, you want to be provider of the family and whatnot. So,
Did you wait to see the success of anybody else that left before you tried to do this? Like, was like maybe, you know, was Cody leaving and being successful someplace else? Was that something that was like impactful for you?
It was more when Drew left, because Drew and I kind of started together, And so when he left and I saw, you know, the success he was having for himself and pretty much rebuilding his character out there without really any major programming, I thought it was really cool. And the popularity, I mean, he was always a great wrestler, you know, just, you know, butted heads with the backstage type stuff. But when it, what I saw when, what he was doing, and it really kind of opened my eyes about what you could do when you leave, and that there is life outside and after WWE.
It's interesting you say that, Jake, too, because, you know, Jeff and I have always talked about it. We've had several talent, whether it be on the independents or have been, for example, writers or promoters. And the same idea or feeling comes across where, like, I think nowadays more than ever, people are feeling like there is life outside the WWE. I understand it's this huge juggernaut. You know, people who grew up watching wrestling kind of want to be a part of it to say, hey, I had my WrestleMania moment, or I was part of the company, a WWE brand. But there is a life out there. What I find really interesting now more than ever is when you see, like, for example, guys like Cody and Drew, who's now back, unfortunately got injured, is that social media is such a viable tool nowadays. And now you leaving the WWE and now pursuing a career in mixed martial arts and kind of, in some ways, not so much, starting over in a way because you're going to a new field. How important is social media for you right now to get your name out there? Because when you really think about it, when you compare MMA to WWE, there are a lot of similarities now. I mean, you look at the Conor McGregors, right? You know, going out there and the Ronda Rouseys, how much popularity there is, and they're cutting promos in the middle of the octagon. How vital is it for you to use social media right now to get your name out there so when you do make your debut, you're going to have a whole bunch of people watching you?
That's a great question, and I think the future of pro wrestling is the internet. The future of television is the internet. You know, why combat sports is so popular these days is because of social media, because pro wrestlers can go on there and you can see kind of behind the curtain, or you can have MMA fighters have their beef on, you know, social media for everyone to see. It's so important. And it's interesting. It's an interesting aspect that I have, because I do have a very good social media following. And, you know, in the pro wrestling world, it's probably, you know, 60%, I would say, where I would rank. But I crossed over into MMA, and I instantly became top 10 overnight with my social media following. MMA is growing, but, you know, the social media, the power of pro wrestling social media is so, so strong. And I think it's going to be a really cool aspect to this fight, that people are going to be exposed to how popular pro wrestling is. And they're going to be shocked by it. They're going to be like, what? Like, this many people came out or watched? It's an interesting aspect, and, like, you know, kind of like a necessary evil. I'm not really the type of guy that would like to put a lot out there so people would know it, but mm-hmm. I have to. And you have to show people what you're doing at all times. You have to tell a story even now. And it's fun, and it's a great opportunity. It's a lot of work, but very good question, because when you think about it, we're about to be in 2018, and you can find pro wrestling in every aspect of our society, entertainment, schooling, anywhere. There's always some type of aspect of pro wrestling that you can pull out and, like, oh, everything's kind of shifting to that, especially sports, especially the NBA. They got all their factions now.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah. They got all their factions. They're celebrating with championship belts. So they're doing, like, Ric Flair woos all the time and celebrations in the NFL. It's amazing how it transcends everybody. You know, I don't know if you recall this, but when the Ultimate Warrior gave his Hall of Fame speech, he's like, athletes imitate wrestlers. Wrestlers don't imitate athletes. How funny is that?
That's funny. That's very funny. That's, man, that's great. social media is so powerful right now, though. So, so powerful. It's going to be a key component of me getting some bonuses.
Well, you get those bonuses when you knock out your opponents, Jake. Yeah. Fight of the night, knocking them out or making them submit. And we know you can make people submit.
Yeah.
Or if I just get a lot of people to tune in to watch me get knocked out, you know, same bonus.
There you go. There you go. But we'd like for it to be the other way around for you, though. You know what I mean?
We don't want to
successful run for you, Jake. You know. We want us to actually encourage you to knock somebody out in May. So you remember, hey, when we were these guys, hey, they believed in me. So definitely, I got to win for them. You know. So we want positive.
Listen,
I'm sure we're the last on the list right now. He's got to win for his family. We're last, but if we're on that list, we appreciate it.
I met you guys at WrestlePro. You guys are a bunch of dicks. You guys want to see me get knocked out. I know you guys.
No, man.
I apologize if Jeff came off that way, Jake. I'm sorry.
So, Jake, you have a... I know, right? It's on me. I left a bad impression. He's like, oh, those two guys, man.
Such a mark.
when you look back in your WWE career, you got a great resume. You WWE heavyweight champion. You were the ECW heavyweight champion, United States champion. You had an amazing role with Cesaro as well. And I think it could have been so much more as well. Anything you feel like you've left undone there, or anything else that you wish, man, I wish I could have maybe, you know, wrestled this one guy. Anything you feel like you left undone back there?
It doesn't really feel like that right now because I just left, and I think there's a very good chance that I will be back. I mean, they hire everybody back, right?
Yeah, the door's always open, basically, yeah.
Yeah, you just got to be 53 and they'll bring it back.
I wonder who he's talking about there. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, it's funny you bring up Cesaro. Tagging with him was definitely one of my favorite moments in my career. I definitely felt like I became so in love with tag team wrestling. It was just so much fun to be a part of, and it felt easier to really get the people and tell the story of trying to make the tag and working with him and just seeing how he works while he works. Let's say work one more time. Working with him and like being able to pick his brain and then see how his brain works like during the match and during the time and how he handles certain situations. It was very cool. That whole dynamic with Zeb and Tony and I, I would definitely come back to try to reignite that if only that.
Yeah. Now of course you talked about Zeb and Dutch Mantel, and I'm not sure what exactly his status is right now with Impact though, but of course there is kind of like a change now in scenery. It's been a revolving door basically this past year, and maybe kind of been the butt of a lot of jokes, Impact Wrestling, but now it seems like the future's a little bit brighter now as of this past week or so that they mentioned that Scott D'Amore and Don Callis would be taking over as executive vice presidents. Is that some place where you legitimately could work for in 2018?
I mean, if Zeb is there, I could definitely take it seriously and would consider it. It just seems like so up and down with them. It'd be tough to commit it, I'd say, without really seeing some progress. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they want to see progress from me. You know, I want to see progress from them. It's kind of one of those things. It would make sense because I live in Tampa. I'm so close there. It'd be really good. So far, our relationship hasn't been maximized, as I said earlier.
You know, Jake, another thing too, you talked about the learning curve it is now that you're stepping your foot in the cage now outside of the ring into the cage for mixed martial arts. Can you just elaborate a little bit more on what you mean the learning curve is? So, for example, we've interviewed talent, and something I admire a lot about the talent that step into the ring for professional wrestling and especially for mixed martial arts, and I have a lot of respect and have admired your career and the things you've accomplished, and hopefully they continue on in mixed martial arts. But can you talk about the learning curve? Because I've known people or have talked to people that have been in the business for like 15, 16 years, and they said they're still learning. How important is it for anybody generally in this business to still have that mindset of wanting to learn and not really try to rest on their laurels?
Man, I think that's very important, not just in this business or MMA. It's very important in life. If you go through with that mentality, you're probably doing something that you love, and you're probably pretty good at it, and you're probably getting better at it, and it's probably something that you enjoy. So I think it just makes things easier when you look at it that way, and it's pro wrestling, especially in the WWE, it's such a revolving door. You constantly have to be current, constantly have to be changing it out because you wrestle so much. You really have to learn new ways to be creative and, you know, do your same cliche or vintage moves, but do them in different places and different ways and out of different counters or whatnot. It's very important. I can't stress it enough because, like, if you lose that, then you probably aren't going to be up there that much longer. And it's just one of those things where it's such a constant grind and it's so hard on your body and such a sacrifice for your family. You really need to have that love for it in order to do it. Now, MMA on the other side, very, very high learning curve, multiple disciplines to understand and master. I mean, like, if you just look at striking alone, everybody wants to hit hard. Well, in order to hit hard, it's spacing and it's your footwork. It's your balance, you know. Mm-hmm. It's where your hands are at. You really don't even, you know, clench up and go hard until the last second, and then you want to go back loose. So it's like so many different aspects where you look at a guy like Floyd Mayweather and you want to be like him, but he's been doing this all of his life. And so for him to move, and he has worked years and years upon mastering those angles and the little, and knowing the distance or the inches he needs away to move in order to avoid the punch and be ready to counter. It's very difficult and very steep. Luckily, we do have the internet and we have access to so many videos, so many highlight tapes, so many tutorials online that young fighters can watch. And if you apply yourself, you can really get some out of it. And that was something that probably wasn't available 10 years ago. You probably had to have the VHS tapes or something.
No, exactly. Now everything's so much more accessible with the internet. I mean, even tape trading, as archaic as it is now, doesn't exist anymore because you just go check YouTube out, right? But talking about the mere fact that you said, you know, of taking care of your body, right? Something that a lot of people don't tend to realize, I think, or choose not to realize, is how much the physical grind and mental grind there is. Now that you're moving to mixed martial arts, and we all like to hope and feel, you know, as we get older, we don't get older, we get wiser, right? We don't get older, but our body eventually takes a toll and it eventually will say no more. What do you do now, especially at this stage in your life and career, to maintain your body as healthy as it possibly can? Because you mentioned before you're sore, but how do you keep it healthy enough to replenish it so that you're ready for the next workout tomorrow?
Well, you got to stay hydrated, one. You got to eat right. Eating right is like building a mountain. You slowly over time see the positive effects of putting good stuff in your body. For me, I'm lanky. I'm pretty tall. So my stretching is like so key for me. My wife is a Pilates instructor.
Very nice.
And she puts me through workouts. Like when I, like if I come home on a Sunday or Monday from pro wrestling, I'll do like 2 days of recovery workouts where I'm just kind of stretching. And I tell you what, man, I'll put those workouts up with sparring or jujitsu any day. I mean, she kicks my ass. And it's like, but my body feels so much better afterwards. So in 2018, I think there's so many ways where you can push the limits of age, but you just have to understand it. You have to be proactive and what you're doing and keep looking for, you know, new information and new ways to do it without putting a needle in your body.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely challenging, you know, find ways to push yourself physically. And then like, okay, if I can't push myself physically, maybe I can push myself mentally somehow. And the whole juggling of it, it's a lot of fun. And part of the grind.
Jake, question for me is, for example, you've seen the trend now where we've, you know, Ronda Rousey's signing with WWE is imminent, and of course you've, you know, her four horsewomen are probably going to be there too, and then you see people like who say that Conor McGregor, you know, could maybe, you know, one day go to the WWE, and then you see, you know, CM Punk and yourself going into mixed martial arts. Do you see that trend being more in 2018? Do you see more people switching back and forth?
Yeah, I mean, like, look at Matt Riddle.
Yeah, you know? Matt Riddle, look, yeah.
Look at the big name coming out late is Filthy Tom Lawler. Mm-hmm. That guy's a beast. And he's going into pro wrestling. I think I saw, did I see Forrest Griffin?
No.
It was, I'm sorry, I can't think of the other guy. I mean, I think it's only going to continue. People see the opportunity to make a name for yourself, and if you can cross over, you know, hats off to you. I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's so popular now to say that you're a pro wrestling fan, that it's like everybody wants to come out of the closet and say, hey, I like pro wrestling now, so it's okay. But I think both ways it's going to continue, and I think you're going to see more sports. You got Greg Hardy, ex-NFL guy, fighting heavyweight. So yeah. I think it's only become more popular because MMA is only, it's not going anywhere.
Gotcha. And anybody you think in the WWE that could make it into mixed martial arts? Anybody that you were kind of, that you kind of maybe talked back and forth saying, hey, you could do this too?
Nope. I'm the only one. I'm the only one that could have done it.
Nice. And,
yeah, I didn't really talk about it too much up there.
Mm-hmm.
Just...
Yeah, no, I gotcha. And for 2018, what's your resolution? Do you do resolutions? Because you know, I've spoken to a lot of people, like, oh, you know, that's so done with. I break it the next week, or you know, anything.
The next hour.
The next hour. Any New Year's resolutions for you as we head to the end of 2017?
I mean, yeah, resolutions are like assholes. Everyone's got one, you know.
That's great. I'm gonna use that. So I'm gonna hack you on that one. That's pretty good. I'm
like you. If I make one, I'll drop it within a week and say, "Oh, that was stupid. What was I thinking?" You know, and I'll put the excuse on the resolution and not on me not wanting to do it.
Yeah.
I get philosophical and I just try to be better than my past self. That's how I look at it. Be superior from your past self, and you're doing something right.
And speaking of your past self, Jake, if your past self could speak to you at 21 years old, what would it tell you?
It would probably tell me not to drive in a car with a little bit of marijuana in it.
That's wise advice right there.
Yeah, good advice. It would probably tell you, hey, man, you look good. let's see.
So you're basically checking yourself out, Jake. Come on, man. Let's not get into a weird place here. But
okay, so 21-year-old past self would go back and say, don't let them break up the real Americans, and don't let them end the Rusev swagger angle way too soon. Past self would tell you, you know, find better moments to stand up for yourself. Never. It's always important to find those right moments to where to stand up for yourself, whether it's for your personal or to actually accomplish something.
You know, I gotta ask you, Jake, one thing. And you talk about Cesaro, and you know, I've seen you at WrestleManias at 29 here in Jersey, and I've also seen you at the Superdome, not the Silverdome. How's it like to wrestle in those big arenas? Is it like everyone says that the crowd noise just disappears, and you feel like you wonder if you're even like doing any a good job or not? Like talk about that. Like honestly, like I've always wanted to ask. And how is the crowd noise? Is it like overwhelming when you see that huge place of Superdome? The Superdome was intimidating to us. Just talk about the atmosphere at like a WrestleMania.
Yeah, the atmosphere is definitely electric. When they say that, they mean it. It's weird with the sound because you look out at this huge mass of people And it's so overwhelming and so cool. And just like for them to think that you're walking out in front of like this huge crowd that they came to see a little part of what you're about to do. Very cool. The open air arenas are tough because it's one, there's so many people. And so for a crowd reaction at the top of the stadium to actually get to the ring, it's going to be delayed. So you might be in the ring and you might have like a crazy counter spot when you're in the fireworks at the end and you're waiting for the big pop and you don't hear it. Like it's a tricky thing. It doesn't mean that they're not into it or you weren't there. The timing was bad. It's just, it changes. Changes the dynamic of how you got to gauge your response to the crowd. But it's such a cool moment. I mean, climbing on top of a 15-foot ladder in Arizona in front of 85,000 people, it felt like a million. And I was scared to death. I would not go up another ring. Yeah, I said. But places like, Staples Center, Chicago, Madison Square Garden, the O2 in London, those closed arenas, it's pretty cool, and it's super loud in there. One of my favorite matches was the Real Americans versus the Rhodes Brothers in a blue steel cage at Madison Square Garden.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, that blue steel cage, that's old school, too. They don't do that anymore.
No.
So they only do that for special occasions, so that's great. Jake, one more for me, and I thank you so much for giving us a few minutes of your time, man. You have no idea how greatly Jeff and I appreciate it. As much as we were assholes to you at WrestlePro, believe me.
Oh, now we're your best friends now.
Hopefully we've made it up, yes, yeah. And we will worship the ground you walk on. But honestly, for me, on a personal note, meeting you at WrestlePro in Rahway, New Jersey, such a nice person, so, so kind. And the one thing that I got away from meeting you that day and obviously seeing you perform in the ring later on that night was just humbleness. You're such a humble guy. It seems to come natural to you. It's just the way you are. Can you just kind of talk about where that comes from? Because, you know, when you have the amount of success that you've probably had in your career to this point and now moving into another career in mixed martial arts, what do you do or what is it around you that keeps you so centered the way you do? Because most people in the type of scenarios and the same situations that you're in might have a big head. How do you keep yourself centered and humble the way you are?
Well, thank you, my friend. Those are very kind words, and I do appreciate that. My wife does a good job of knocking my big head to the ground.
I was waiting for that response.
Yeah, you definitely have to have a good lady behind a good man, right?
Yeah, well, I don't even want to say it like that. That was just a joke. What really keeps me humble is my family, though. I feel so fortunate, so blessed to have this beautiful, great woman beside me to, you know, let me follow all these crazy wrestling dreams, and to have the two kids with it really just, you know, that's what I want. And yeah. So I try to remember that, and like I'm just very grateful for it. And like I just think about when I wanted an autograph when I was a kid. Like, yeah. It could have been autographed from the backup first baseman of Atlanta Braves. But if I would have got it, that would have not made my day. It would have made my year. It's like, yeah. It's funny how stuff like that works. And so I really try to give it back and, you know, just give an experience when I do those meet and greets. And when I get to meet fans who come to see me, don't want to rush it away. And it's just something that, you know, maybe it's a Midwestern thing. Being from Oklahoma, we're a little bit nicer than some folks.
Yeah, everybody's nicer away from the East Coast when I've learned from my experience.
Yeah. But I've always been the type of person, when I get cocky or when I talk trash, I lose. So I just try to keep my ear to the ground and stay focused and control it.
Yeah, you do very well.
Jake, again, we're talking to Jake Hager, who signed with Bellator and will be debuting hopefully in May, as he's saying, May 2018. But we'll see, you know, where that goes. He wants to get two wins in 2018.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that. Sorry, son of a bitch. That says again there with him.
Yeah, two wins in 2018. That should be a shirt. Two in 2018. One thing for me is, have you kept up with like the storylines going on in wrestling, but not just wrestling, like maybe in New Japan or Ring of Honor? Have you kept up with the storylines, or have you just been like just your independence and then also just training?
I mean, I try to keep up with it as much as I can, and that way I can order to compete with these guys and the stuff they're doing. What Jericho and Kenny Omega did.
That's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, I mean, it's so great. I mean, they proved it once again, and I'm so glad that Chris was one of the guys involved in this because he's a genius. He's a Hall of Famer of Hall of Famers. He had everyone work. Everyone was believing that this was like a Twitter beef and, what are they doing type deal. At least I was, anyway. Yeah. And then they sent up, a match at one of the biggest shows. It was very cool to see that happen, and that even in 2017, 2018, we could still create that mystery.
Well, yeah, but he keeps so quiet too. Like nobody knows. You know, it's like he just shows up, and for him to keep the secret, and for him to just like last night, he reinvented himself again. You know what I mean? He wasn't the list guy. He wasn't that funny heel. He was lethal Jericho. You know what I mean? He was like crazy, spreads the blood all over his face, Jericho, which is it's another Jericho.
I mean, and that's what makes Chris so special is he can do it overnight. He can do it on the stop of a dime. He can take one word and make it so funny and so entertaining and so over just by the way he does it. And it's really fun to watch and always one of my favorite persons to wrestle.
Well, you know what I want to see in 2018 too? On Resolution, I want a Jack Swagger and a Kenny Omega match. How about that? I want to see that.
Hey, man. I'd love to do it and show Kenny how to wrestle. Funny story is Kenny and I were in developmental in Deep South back in 2006 together.
Okay.
And he wasn't signed. He was there for he was paying his way for tryouts, and then they kind of just brushed him off as they do. But in hindsight, Kenny would not have become Kenny in the WWE system. He had to leave and become fluent in Japanese and, go wrestle outside of them. It's a really cool story. And to see the success he had, it makes it even cooler, because he worked for every part of it.
Yeah. And, of course, you're going to be probably nervous on New Year's because you've got Oklahoma and Georgia. That's a pretty big game. You a little nervous?
If I got Baker Mayfield, I'm not nervous.
Heisman Trophy winner, too? I mean,
do you think that's sometimes a blessing or a curse when you get that Heisman Trophy?
You know, personally, I wanted, everyone knew he was going to win it, but I wanted them to snub him because I feel like they like to mess with Oklahoma. Maybe that's just a personal bias. Yeah. But I wanted them to snub him and not give it to him. And that way it would pretty much guarantee us winning the Natty, because you want to see what angry is then. Like, you don't shake his hand and this guy goes off on you.
Amazing the gestures.
Oh my gosh, they were so obscene. That was so, God, that pissed me off.
But it's so wrestling, though. That's so wrestling.
Oh. But no, it's so 21st century media, making a story.
Yeah. Yeah, we spent a whole time talking about media making this story.
So I'm assuming he's going to go Oklahoma Sooners all the way, right? Boomer Sooner all the way.
Zeb Coulter's Clemson Tigers have kicked our butts, two out of the last 4 years or something like that. So I'm really hoping it's us and Clemson in the finals. Very cool to play Georgia in the Rose Bowl for the first time. Thank you for coming. You can go back home now. But, I want a piece of Clemson. I want some of Dabo Sweeney.
Nice.
And when Oklahoma wins, then finally Jake will be doing some trash talking, right?
There we go, yep.
I'd probably be like, hey, it was a good game, Dutch. don't be hard on yourself.
Awesome.
It's really cool. Clemson's defensive coordinator is Brent Venables. And he was my defensive coordinator when I played at Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. Wow. So, all right.
Anytime Dutch would talk about their defense, I was like, yeah, it's because I made your coordinator so good.
Of course. Oh, man. Talking to Jake Hager, we could talk on and on. But listen, thank you so much for joining us here and giving us the time that you did. And continued success. Best of luck with Bellator. And we'd love to maybe talk to you, you know, sometime down the road next year when you have your first win or something like that, you know. We'd love to have you back on.
Hey, guys. It was a lot of fun. Very easy. Thank you. And definitely. You know where to reach me.
Awesome. Yes.
So, Jake, take care of yourself. We thank you so much. Have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Wishing you nothing but the best in 2018. And can't wait to see your first fight. So thank you so much. Have a good night.
Thank you, guys.
All right, guys. And that was Jack Swagger. You can follow him on Twitter at Real Jack Swagger, the All-American. Join the High Spot Podcast. And we learned a lot of stuff there, Trendsetter.
Yeah, we definitely did. He's going to now a new endeavor, which is mixed martial arts. And like again, we wish him all the best. But, you know, something I can tell during the interview, you guys listen to it, you know, he's very humble. But again, if he gives the same amount of dedication he did in amateur wrestling, professional wrestling, which he's still doing, and mixed martial arts, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind the mere fact that he still has some age on his side. And, you know, with the mentality that he's going to be competing at heavyweight, you know, there's no doubt for at least us that he's going to be very successful.
Yeah, and it was great to hear his comments on Cesaro, which obviously he wished he could have continued the We the People, which I thought was great too. He has a great admiration for Zeb Coulter, you know, really. You can tell that if he stays with Impact for some reason, he's a part of it, then maybe there's an opportunity for Jack Swagger, Jake Hager to go to Impact Wrestling. That's also, you know, good to know because, you know, they might need names and he would be a huge name, a huge acquisition for Impact in 2018.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Jack Swagger, he's basically keeping all his options open here. I mean, yeah, Impact is a possibility, like he mentioned before. Again, even WWE, a return there is always a possibility because, you know, I hate to say it's a revolving door, but supposedly the WWE always leaves their door open to come back. And, you know, Jack ended on good terms. So there's no doubt in my mind we could possibly see him again somewhere down the road. But right now he's 120,000,000% dedicated on mixed martial arts. And like I said before, he's got, you know, a great family behind him. And I think he's got the right mindset for the mere fact that he understands that, you know, you only get one shot at this life and you don't want to go back with any regrets. And that's why he's pursuing this, because he doesn't want to regret 10 years down the road thinking, I should have tried to do this, when now physically it would probably be impossible for him to do it.
What is that saying? Don't live life with regrets, right? Pain is temporary, but regret is forever.
Yeah.
So I think you do, you know, you do what you're, you know, whatever you set your mind to it, you can do. So obviously, Jack Swagger is now going to Bellator, and wish him the best of luck, and hopefully he comes back on the High Spot Podcast. But guys, did you like the interview? I mean, seriously, did you like the interview? Then you know what you can do? Leave a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, listen to us on all our platforms. We are on the Podbean. We're on TuneIn, for goodness sake. TuneIn. But still, leave a review and your comments too on iTunes. That 5-star rating helps so much. Definitely let us know. And also, of course, listen to these interviews on the Shining Wizards Network and B Plus Player Radio. And this interview was brought to you by Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion. From cool-looking flex-fit caps to great-looking men's and women's shirts, check out the entire winter fashion line, including brand-new long-sleeve shirts and hoodies. You got to go to collarxelbowbrand.com. Save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST, all in caps. Just in time for the holidays, it's Collar and Elbow. Of course, you can get those great-looking hats to look on the Trendsetter, too, on the website. But again, save 10% off by mentioning the High Spot Podcast. Trendsetter, you done with your shopping yet?
Not yet. Not even close. But again, I'm not getting a little too overboard with it. It's going to be nice and simple, quiet for the holidays. So I'm not worrying about it. Don't have a budget, but again, not expecting to spend a lot.
Clash of Champions is this Sunday. Now, we really, honestly, man, I really haven't spent the time and watched a lot of WWE out there, so I'm going to go by the card. And, of course, we do the predictions and a little small preview. So let's get started with some match that, honestly, like, you were thinking, okay, it'd be great if they had the build-up, but there's been no build to this. And then all of a sudden I find out, oh, Mojo turned on Zach when I thought it should have been the other way around. And you get Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder with absolutely no build to this matchup. What can you expect out of this?
You can expect out of it what you would expect from an opening match, a kickoff show, basically. It's a storyline that's progressing itself. They've tried to put these two together. think the first time it didn't work out because Zack Ryder got injured, and now Mojo Rawley, who's the current Andre the Giant Battle Royal winner with a little help from Gronkowski there. I think they want to see where he is in the singles, you know, mindset in terms of competition out there. So it's just going to be a progression. It really feels going to be a one-off. If they continue, I'll be surprised. But it's really just Zack and Mojo going their separate ways.
Yeah, so I got Mojo going over here.
Yeah, I got Mojo going over too. He has more upside behind him too, because I think Zack, we already kind of know where he is with the company.
Bludgeon Brothers against Breezango. I'm going to go with Bludgeon Brothers just because Breezango's basically like, okay, let's watch their fashion files and that's it, and then just watch them lose to their tag team. So I'm going to go with Bludgeon Brothers.
I would go so too. It's really more of just a match to warm up and keep building up that team's character, that team's identity. And so, yeah, unfortunately, Breezango is going to be the victim of a loss.
U.S. title match, triple threat, Dolph Ziggler, the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and Baron Corbin. I got to go with Bobby Roode here taking the U.S. title. I mean, it's been, again, another, to me, lost cause of bringing an NXT superstar up here for no apparent reason if you're not going to push him. So why not push him now, have him beat Baron Corbin? There'll be better days for Baron Corbin, but I think you go with Bobby Roode.
I think they're all set on keeping Baron Corbin champion. For some reason, I had a conversation with somebody not too long ago about, hey, they put the title on this guy and still nobody cares because there's no connection. But the only thing is, the company sees him. He has a certain look or marketability in their mind. But to me, he has no charisma, has no mic skills. In the ring, somewhat mediocre. He's okay, depending on who he's working with. I really think they're all set on keeping him as champion because regardless, he does generate a lot of heat. People don't like him in general because he comes off looking like a jerk. I'm not saying he is one, but he comes off looking that way. So I think he ends up retaining the title. And again, another frustrating moment for Bobby Roode, who should be a champion. But again, he should be on the other side of it. He should not be a face. He should be a heel.
Exactly, man.
And Dolph Ziggler, he's stuck in limbo right now.
It's just head scratching too. I mean, Bobby Roode, you know what? That could be another whole podcast. But the Women's SmackDown Live Championship is on the line. Charlotte defends against Natalya in a lumber. Let's just say it's not a lumberjack. It's a lumberjill match. That's what I call it, because it's feminine. So honestly, I'm going to go Charlotte here. I think Natalya is just, you know, somebody that's kind of placeholding that event until obviously Carmella cashes it in. She could cash it in, you know, at Clash of Champions. We are getting close to the end of the year, so maybe she does it, but honestly,
you mean WrestleMania or Royal Rumble?
Well, no, I'm just saying we're just getting close to the end of the year. They might want to do a shocking twist and turn. I'm not saying that the Money in the Bank expires. I'm just saying that it's the end of the year, so they might want to do a little twist there. But yeah, you know what, maybe Carmella cashes it in, but I don't see it here, so I would just go Charlotte wins straight up here in this matchup.
It's going to be a good match. I mean, Charlotte and Natalya have great chemistry with each other. I think it's going to be a good match. But, yeah, I see Charlotte winning, retaining the title. And they're really trying to work an angle here where, like, all the women are trying to be involved. But here's the thing. I always keep telling you this, even when we talk about NXT. Can we have more storylines outside the women's championship match?
Does anybody care about now?
Do we worry about factions so much? Does anybody have single individual rivalries going on?
Does anybody care about Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, and
Liv Morgan
anymore?
They kind of lost a lot of momentum. But even the same thing on the Raw side with Hope Page and,
Didn't Nia Jax squash them, basically?
Kind of squashed them. The whole locker room came in and attacked all three members of Page's trio there. So
great job. Six more women on the roster that aren't doing anything.
Yeah.
So that when Ronda Rousey comes up, now you just focus on Ronda Rousey and Asuka, and then all these women are stuck in limbo. So let's have more women up on the roster. Now I sound like somebody else that's negative about everything, but I mean, honestly, yeah. Makes no sense. No sense.
It's frustrating more than anything.
Tag team titles on the line. Fatal 4-Way, it's the Usos defending against the New Day. Well, what a surprise there. Gable and Benjamin, and then Aiden English and Rusev. Now, if there's been two breakout guys, it's been Aiden English and Rusev. So they actually worked their butt off, and I think they are well-deserved to be here. Now, I'm going to go with a shocker here. I'm going to say English and Rusev become the tag team champions just because I think that they've worked hard. I think that it would be very smart to continue their push. I think Rusev really needs something like this. So why not? And I say this will be my shocker. I think that English and Rusev come out brand new SmackDown Live Tag Team Champions.
I mean, it would make sense in terms of all the hard work they've been doing, basically being given nothing and basically being pitted together and making, you know, chicken salad out of chicken shit, in a way. I don't think the payoff is going to be a clash of championship. I really think it's going to be a little bit down the road. I see the Usos right now. I mean, look at everything they've done to this point, have overcome so much. I think right now they're still the hottest tag team on SmackDown Live. So eventually it will happen for Rusev and Aiden English, I feel, but just not right now. I got the Usos walking away still tag team champions.
You got the WWE title is on the line as AJ Styles, a phenomenal one, and my favorite wrestler right now going today, defends the title against Jinder Mahal. Brian,
I thought you were going to say Jinder was your favorite wrestler.
No, no, no. Brian, what has happened to Jinder Mahal? It has been a complete downward spiral since losing that title to AJ Styles. Gets beat in India. Remember we were talking about India, and we were talking about how he's going to carry that title, and now he gets beat by Triple H down there in India? That is crazy, man. It may look like a fool. What is going on? Now, we were talking about a few months ago, Jinder's no way he's losing. Oh, he's going to beat AJ Styles. He's taking that title to India. And now, this matchup seems like AJ Styles is going to win all the way. He's going to probably carry this belt into WrestleMania. He should, too.
I hope that's the case, and I hope we see I might be spoiling something here, or maybe not, maybe it's a prediction. I hope we see a little AJ Styles Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania for the title. That'd be an amazing match to have on that stage. But going back to Jinder, you said what happened to Jinder. I mean, ever since he lost that title, I think really since his first title defense, it was kind of what's going on here, because he had so much promise. You know, before they got rid of Talking Smack, I think he had a great platform of really expressing who he was. But again, I'm just not a huge fan of the whole stereotypical heel thing where, you know, you use your country and you use prejudice and stuff like that. It's the same thing over and over again. We've had conversations with people say his in-ring style is pretty good, his mic skills are amazing, and I just don't see it. His in-ring style is okay at best, depending on who he's working with. He's had good matches with AJ Styles, and hence I think a lot of credit goes to AJ for that. Jinder, I don't know. Somewhere along the line, they dropped the ball, and you know, I think Jinder did the best he could with it, but unfortunately, it didn't work. So now we're happy with AJ Styles. I can't see AJ losing this for some reason. I really feel they just kind of want to settle this rivalry and see AJ walking out still WWE champion.
And listen, man, I am all Shane McMahon'd out. I just think there's like so much Shane McMahon overkill. I remember when he would wrestle, you know, he wrestled at Mania 32, and then, okay, that's cool. It's like, you know, I hadn't seen him in like 7 years, right? Yeah. And now all of a sudden he's like on every freaking pay-per-view, and like it's all about Shane McMahon. And I don't
like
that, man.
It's kind of opposite how we talked about when we commented and compared Raw and SmackDown. Saying, yeah. You know, the general manager and the commissioner, they kind of are out of the picture. Now they're all around it. Daniel Bryan, even himself, is being more involved in storylines than Shane McMahon is, and it's kind of getting a little stale.
See, but I can take Daniel Bryan, but Shane McMahon, it's like overkill now. It's like, okay, you know, like now you put yourself in another match where you're going to be the special guest referee, and what we're talking about is Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn taking on Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura. Talk about a crazy pairing there with Shinsuke and Randy Orton. And now here you have, if Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn lose, they get fired. So what is the point of firing Kevin and Sami when they might go to Raw and, you know, hurt your brand? So I really don't understand.
No, they'd be fired from all of WWE. That's the storyline. So it's not like they get fired from SmackDown Live and go to Raw and hurt them. They get fired from all of WWE. So their careers in WWE are over, and we have to move on to something else. But we know where the storyline's being built here. The animosity, the fact that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens basically cost or betrayed the entire SmackDown Live roster during the whole Survivor Series
fiasco
there. So I get the storyline, but you're right. I'm kind of a little too much of Shane McMahon is not necessarily a good thing, too. And the fact, too, that, you know, it doesn't speak highly for, in my opinion, that Shane's always involved, whether he's in matches or involved in the matches as a special guest referee. When you have Shinsuke Nakamura, and I know your feelings toward Randy Orton, but still, he is a legit star. He's been there. He's a name. They have nothing else to go for but just to pit these two together.
But this doesn't make anything for Shinsuke Nakamura unless he, you know, is the guy that pins either Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn. There's nothing for Shinsuke to gain here.
But that leads to my prediction. I don't think any of that's going to happen, because I still feel in some way, because now Daniel Bryan has involved himself in the match. He's going to be the second special guest referee, the X Factor there. So to me, I see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn walking out victorious.
Yeah, so
the whole Shinsuke Nakamura thing is not even going to work itself out, because there's no reason. He's not going to get a pinfall.
I think there's more of a continuation of an angle more than anything.
Not involving Kevin, Sami, Shinsuke, or Randy Orton altogether. It's going to be an angle involving, in my opinion, Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon.
Yeah, and it was an angle before 2 months ago. It was about KO and Shane McMahon and the McMahon family. And all of a sudden now it's turned around and it's becoming Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon. Now, whether this leads to Daniel Bryan actually wrestling it's going to be interesting because rumors are out there. You don't know who to believe, right? You don't know who to believe. And then
you take it with a grain of salt because we've had our expectations kind of built up during the whole Miz scenario.
Yeah. And they
squash it.
But here's where I say that before WWE would tell Daniel Bryan, listen, don't put out that video of you training because it looks like you're training to get back into the ring. Okay. He pulls that video. Let's not tease a Miz and Daniel Bryan thing because we don't want to get false hopes. But now you're pitting Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan in this manner, whether it's an exit plan for Daniel Bryan or whether it is leading up to another match. It is intriguing, though. It seems like the options have changed a little bit in relation to Daniel Bryan's future with the WWE as far as will he get back in the ring. And if I'm a betting man and I have to say yes or no, right now I'm leaning 51-49 towards Daniel Bryan returning to the ring.
Yeah, I probably would lean in that direction too. But you know what, Jeff? I've been, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I won't necessarily believe it. I've heard the rumors. You and I have talked about it, obviously, before even here on the show. But to me, it's like, let's wait till the closer we get to it. Let's see when it might actually happen. Because depending on the outcome of Sunday, we'll have a better idea what's going to happen. And if it works itself out the way I think it's going to work itself out, then I would probably be in agreement with you saying it's a very high percentage, even higher than 50%, that we would probably see Daniel Bryan again in the ring. But again, let's not jump too ahead of ourselves.
But if I were to ask you right now, where would you lean to?
I would still be on the low 40s, 30%, because here's the thing. Stuff like this happened before, and you know, storylines change, and Vince, in the split of a second, can change his mind, and all of a sudden, all right, we're not doing that again. And then we have to wait till Daniel Bryan's contract to expire and then him go to Ring of Honor or something like that. So it can change drastically. So that's it. That's what I mean. Don't jump the gun, for me at least.
If I was WWE, and I know I have to worry about the condition of my wrestler, first and foremost, that's the main thing. If I know Daniel Bryan's going to leave, I'm going to take advantage of it, and I'm going to have him wrestle one match so that when he does go on the independents, it's not fresh. It's for example, that, okay, I've seen him wrestle on WDB, so it's not basically that, okay, after a long, you know, absence, he's going to come back to return to Ring of Honor or even do that all-in show with Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks. So it's not going to be fresh because I saw him wrestling in the WDB. So maybe that is why the WDB is doing something like that, right? And, of course, now as far as NXT, listen, man, NXT continues to be a bright spot week after week. We see the emergence of Peyton Royce. We see the emergence of Aleister Black, the Velveteen Dream, Johnny Gargano, Lars Sullivan. But I gotta tell you, man, this is a matchup that we're gonna talk about right now between Aleister Black and Adam Cole. That, you know, this matchup, you know, you see at a takeover, but you got to see it on Wednesday. And man, from all accounts and from what I've seen and the good feedback, is that this was a hell of a match.
It was a hell of a match. It was definitely something that's anticipated. Now, I don't know if it, for example, it didn't have the build up you wanted to have in order for a match like this to happen. I think if that were the case and there was a legit rivalry between these two, it would be so much more better and so much more anticipation. On the names alone that are on the card and the bill, yes, it is exciting to see. And it did have a really good match. And, you know, Aleister Black came out victorious. He now involves himself as the third participant in the Fatal 4-Way match to see who will become the number one contender for Andrade St. Almas' NXT Championship. But again, it just showcased the skill that they have there. Because as much as people want to talk, in my opinion, Jeff, that, you know, this is the next generation, this is an evolution, whatever, you know, you look at Adam Cole, Aleister Black, you look at Andrade, you know, these guys aren't young guys being developed by the Performance Center. You know, maybe Lars Sullivan's the exception. Like you said, he might have a really good 2018. These are guys in their prime. These are guys that have made their name around the world, and now they're being showcased on NXT programming. So I think it's a little, there's a little illusion there that people might think, oh my God, look at all these young stars. You know, no offense, but they're not spring chickens anymore. They're in the primes of their career, and so that's why you're seeing such great caliber matches like that. For example, guys like the Velveteen Dream, Patrick Clark, is a huge bright spot because, you know, he has youth on his side, and, you know, the ceiling only gets higher and higher with him. But yeah, I mean, talk about NXT TakeOver moment right there. That's what it was, and Aleister Black came out victorious.
And again, I don't think it's a hindrance for Undisputed Era. I just think that right now, Aleister Black is the guy, you know, you got to go with. And Adam Cole, there'll be better days for Adam Cole, baby. Yeah. So definitely don't need to worry about the win losses here in NXT, but a great matchup. So again, and also Peyton Royce continues to do great things. Had a great matchup with Ember Moon. There's momentum with Peyton Royce, man. I think compared to her, you know, early on, compared to her now, It's amazing, and I think that she actually can be a significant player in WWE and NXT. So I think that Triple H kind of has his eyes set on that. He's like, listen, we got to keep here Peyton Royce because she could be big time, and I really think she will be big time. I think it's going to be a great 2018 for Peyton Royce.
Yeah, well, I have my eyes set on Peyton Royce, but, you know, it's no other reason, Jeff, because she's easy on the eyes. But yeah, you're right. In terms of everything you just said, I think it's going to be a great 2018. But now, the way I see it is that, you know, I thought she was going to be a viable contender. I thought that was the direction they're going to try to go in for her to be a threat to Amber Moon and the NXT Women's Championship. Because at the same time, she is one of the veterans now on that roster. You know, at this point, when you've looked at the call-ups that have been called up to, you know, WWE, SmackDown, or Raw, you know, to me, it's like, what's missing on Peyton Royce? To me, she's believable. She's gorgeous. She's beautiful. She can go in the ring. She's now very comfortable on the microphone, so she can connect with the audience or connect with, you know, getting heat or getting a pop. And when you looked at it, when she went in for her match, she got a bigger pop than the champ. So to me, it's like she's over. Now, granted, it's a different stage from NXT Universe to WWE Universe, but I think she has all the qualities you'd want to see in the face of a division or in a viable contender. So who knows if 2018 will be a future that she'll be in NXT or maybe the main roster. Who knows? But you know what, Jeff? 2017 isn't over yet. We're going to be at Ring of Honor Final Battle in New York City later on tonight. But also a special treat for me and for you guys, the crew listening in, is you're going to be later on listening to my interview with Christopher Daniels, one member of The Addiction, with Frank Kazarian as well, talking about Final Battle, talking about that epic moment when he became the Ring of Honor champion and something that was so well-deserved for him. So a lot of interesting stuff we're going to be talking about with Christopher Daniels as well. As, you know, leading towards the end of the year, Jeff, we're going to be having our High Spot Podcast Awards as well.
I know. We're going to be handing out the awards for best matches. Also, best matches we've seen on the independent. So, lots to talk about there. Lots of awards to give out, too. So, I need to get cracking. We're probably going to get a vote going on soon between us and going to analyze all the matches that we've seen. So, it's going to be very interesting. Our High Spot Podcast 2017 End of the Year Award shows will be the last week of December. So, tune in for that. And also, remember that The Addiction, Kazarian, and Christopher Daniels will be taking on War Machine later tonight. So looking forward to that, man. Can't wait to hear what you are going to ask Mr. Christopher Daniels.
It's going to be exciting. You know, talk about somebody I've respected and admired so much in this business. To talk to Christopher Daniels was, first and foremost, a huge honor. And, you know, to speak with him and ask him and talk to him, I mean, you guys will listen to the interview. Just a great time, and you guys will enjoy it for what it is. So, yeah, definitely stay with the High Spot Podcast, all our social media accounts, website, iTunes, SoundCloud, all the other social media outlets where audio's out there, as well as video, because it's going to be an amazing weekend for Jeff and I, not only, you know, doing Ring of Honor, but going to, you know, Pro Wrestling Magic, and then all the stuff we've had from Russell Pro, and then, you know, before you know it, it's going to be the end of 2017, but what a great way to finish it with a bang, because, you know what, it's an amazing step for professional wrestling, especially the independent scene, but also a great step for us in the High Spot Podcast.
Oh, it's going to be amazing, man. Of course, also, too, Saturday, you got Pro Wrestling Magic, Kingdom Come, yeah, Copacabana, where it's going to be a triple threat match street fight between the champion Ace Romero, Dan Moff, and EC Negro, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be a crazy weekend, man, but it all starts tonight. Ring of Honor Final Battle from the Hammerstein Ballroom. It's one of those sacred wrestling spots that you just got to go, and we will be there. We'll do a little Facebook Live, too, so we're going to do everything. We're going to have interviews from there, too, and it's just going to be so amazing, man. I'm excited. I mean, it's going to be great, and listen, so you got your Clash of Champions, you've got your Ring of Honor Final Battle, you've also got Pro Wrestling Magic. It's going to be...
And you have your Adventures with the Trendsetter, Jeff.
Oh my God, talk about the Adventures with the Trendsetter.
Well, the
Adventures
with the Trendsetter, Jeff, real quick, and I'm sorry I cut you off there, but I just had to mention it because you we're talking about all these great things happening towards the tail end of this weekend and all of December. But again, my other episode, I've had Jessa Rhodes on, Lena Paul from Exotica 2017. If you guys haven't checked it out yet, go to High Spot Podcast on YouTube. You'll see the videos there, as well as our videos with Santana Garrett and Jordan Grace. So definitely check out those for audio and video together. But I also have on the show, it'll be a surprise. I was going to make a surprise, but I'm going to say it anyway. Not only will you get us talking about what we're talking about right now, Ring of Honor Final Battle, not only will you get Christopher Daniels, but three, for the price of one, folks, you will also get the lovely, the beautiful, the talented Angela White. Angela White, I mean, if you don't know who she is, look her up right now. I'll wait. Okay, time's up.
Whoa, my goodness. Dear God, you can put an eye out with those.
With both of those things. What a beautiful woman, both, you know, not only physically, but in terms of business savvy. That's something I've used throughout this entire stint of going to Exotica in November in Edison, New Jersey. Angela White, talk about branding yourself. She has done it. So you guys want to listen to this episode. Not only is she a successful businesswoman in the world of adult film, but she is also going to be hosting the AVN Awards, co-hosting the AVN Awards in January of 2018. Hopefully, High Spot Podcast can get there. But you'll see, is she nervous? Is she not? But also talks about the comparison between wrestling and the adult film industry, how there's real competition out there, the importance of branding yourself, but also the importance of sticking out from the rest of the crowd. So that'll be my interview with Angela White this Friday. I mean, you're listening to it right now. So after you're done with this, listen to Christopher Daniels and then listen to The Adventures of the Trendsetter with Angela White.
An amazing, busy weekend for the Jersey Wrecking Crew, but we wouldn't have any other way. Nope. We are the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside the Trendsetter, and this has been a great episode. We'd like to thank Jack Swagger again and wish him all the best in 2018 as he heads into his new venture of Bellator and still going to be on the independent, so we wish him well. Thank you, Jack Swagger. And don't forget, also, next week, we will have Sienna from Impact Wrestling as well as Rosemary. So those two amazing female competitors that are shaping the landscape of women's wrestling on Impact will be our guests on the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast, on the Instagram and Snapchat at High Spot Podcast, as well as the Facebook page, facebook.com/High Spot Podcast. And where can they find us, Trendsetter?
Hey guys, don't forget to also look for us on the networks of the Shining Wizards Radio Network and B Plus Player Radio Network. And also don't forget to go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating, review, comment, subscribe, not only to iTunes, but to our YouTube channel as well, High Spot Podcast. Let us know what more we can do because we do this for you guys, the crew.
Oh, exactly, man. And remember, you can also catch us on TuneIn as well. Everywhere the High Spot is available. Anywhere you can hear social media and podcasts, we are there, the High Spot Podcast. And it's going to be a great weekend for wrestling. And remember, too, that the weekends are for the crew.